Dialing it back in here on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to it. Remember this?
Mahomes flings it. It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
And this was the Andy Reid special. This was the Andy Reid special we talked about. He was saving all day. He's going to fake a motion to go across. And at that moment, he turns and goes back. Hardman, who they didn't have, right? And they go get Hardman and bring him back.
There you go. There's your Mecole Hardman conversation we just had on the other side.
Replace MVS with Mecole Hardman this year in the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs win in overtime against the San Francisco 49ers. And it's MVS.
Romo ruined that call, man.
Of course.
He really did.
Shut up.
Yeah, he really did. Why don't we have the Mitch call of that one instead?
Sure,
we'll find that one.
Mitch Holt is here in about 20 minutes on 96.5 The Fan. But we go to the tweet that Ryan Clark had the other day.
Mm-hmm. Who I absolutely love on ESPN. Yeah. He's unbelievably great.
Yeah. I would love to see Ryan Clark and Nate Burleson in a booth.
Oh, God, yeah. Who's your play-by-play guy for that one?
Yes.
Okay, anybody. Anybody?
It could be like Denny and Ryan. You get the first quarter, I'll take the second. You take the third, I'll take the fourth.
Considering none of them have done play-by-play, you know, I'd put Ian Eagle or Kevin Harlan in the booth with them and something like that. I think Ian would be the perfect guy to have Nate Burleson and Ryan Clark together because they really are good. Ryan Clark, I just love everything that he, not that I agree with everything, but I think he's fantastic. I love his insight. He's just an awesome broadcaster right now.
And he tweets out, all players and quarterbacks are imperfect, but of them, Patrick Mahomes stands alone.
No doubt.
We often toss around who's next. Many mentioned Josh Allen and obviously Joe Burrow. To be frank, you start any team with Patrick Mahomes first, but it's now supremely clear that Lamar is the next without question.
Do you think there is a question there with Lamar being the next? Me personally, I'm a Lamar apologist. So I totally agree with that tweet. Like if I'm starting my team, it's Patrick Mahomes and there's nobody else. But if you said I can't have Patrick Mahomes and had to pick another quarterback, I would really probably lean towards Lamar Jackson every day of the week. I know he doesn't win in the playoffs, right? Like where he needs to be winning in the playoffs. But is that argument still going to be talked about because of the way that Patrick Mahomes has dominated in the playoffs, right? Mm. Like, there's really been no room for anybody else to win in the playoffs because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have basically taken up residency in the AFC Championship game every year and pretty much in the Super Bowl every year for the last 5 years. So I know Lamar doesn't win when it matters, but other than Patrick Mahomes, who does win in the postseason now?
I think it's a lot to where people always will go back to the comparison of Brady and Manning, right? Uh-huh. And Lamar gives you similar traits to Peyton Manning.
No doubt.
Wins the MVPs, is toe-to-toe the next one to like compete with Patrick Mahomes. It's the one everybody pays to see.
Right.
I know that we love Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, but he's, like others, hasn't got it done in the playoffs. And I think that when you talk about who's the next, the thing that you start off with Ryan Clark also openly said is that it's Patrick Mahomes. There is a sizable gap.
No doubt. Yeah.
Right. Because would Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, or Josh Allen be 5-0 on this team if they were in Mahomes' spot? The answer to me is no.
No.
And I do think that right now,
I don't think they win the Cincinnati game if it's not Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback. And I don't think they win the Atlanta game if Patrick Mahomes isn't playing quarterback.
That's fair. And I think there's a lot of people that still are like Josh Allen's number two. It's not even close. But I think Lamar, as of the last year and a half, because I think this kind of thing can fluctuate. Like we used to have Justin Herbert as the top five quarterback. Some don't anymore. Some still do. Some people think CJ Stroud has overtaken that. We've written Trevor Lawrence off.
Well, CJ Stroud has had more playoff success than Justin Herbert has had.
It's fair. And so I think Lamar, like, I love Lamar. I think Lamar's great. I think he's a dual-threat quarterback. I think that the two MVPs speak for that. No quarterback that's won two MVPs has not made the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But that's always going to be the question is, who can beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? And right now, one's retired and calling his game this week. The other one is, well, we don't know.
Dying his hair.
Right. Well, yeah, is having some struggles as well. And then there's, like, Lamar Jackson. And I think that when you take it from a Chiefs perspective, who's the one quarterback when the Chiefs play them, you're like, this could actually go either way?
It's Lamar.
And that for you is Lamar Jackson.
For me, it's Lamar Jackson.
To me, it's still Josh Allen.
Is it?
Yeah. It is because of, like, I just think that as much as Allen has seen Mahomes, which I know Lamar's seen a lot of Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes has gotten the better half of that,
yep.
I still look at Josh Allen, I'm like, I know Jamar is super talented, and I know that he's, you know, that guy. But to me, it's Mahomes, huge gap, coin flip between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. But right now, I still kind of like, when the Chiefs play the Bills, I'm a little bit more butterfly-ish in the stomach than when the Chiefs play the Ravens.
I'm the complete opposite of
that's
you.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where fans are on that one, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Where do you get more butterflies, facing the Bills or facing the Baltimore Ravens? And for me, it is Baltimore, because I watch games sometimes, and I've said this for a few years with folks. Watch Patrick Mahomes play a game from the perspective of the other team's fan, right? Like, go back and just watch a game and watch that game from the perspective of a Bengals fan, and watch Patrick Mahomes just absolutely rip your heart out and get that feeling in your stomach of like, oh God, we were right there and he ripped our heart out. That's how I watch Lamar Jackson play against us. I feel like at any moment he can make that play, and I don't want to use the term sick to my stomach when I'm watching it, but watching Lamar play against the Chiefs makes me the most nervous that I ever am when I watch a team play against the Chiefs. Mm. Buffalo, I know they'll fall on their face, they'll do something and ruin it for themselves. Cincinnati obviously will do Cincinnati type things and end up ruining it for themselves. But Baltimore, and save a great play and a fumble recovery in the end zone, you know, one of those type of deals, who knows what happens in that game. I think Baltimore is one of those teams, and maybe the only team right now, that I truly believe, and as we've seen by the score so far this year, no pun intended, can go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I watch them, and I just have that butterfly, sick, like, just get this game over, find any way to get a win, and don't have another second left on the clock because Lamar can make a play. I don't feel that way with Josh Allen.
McAdoodle?
Wow, yeah. See, I feel that exact way with Josh Allen. I mean, I think about that play last year in the playoffs, you know, two guys on his ass. He's about to go out of bounds. It looks like it's over.
Great play.
And he's just in the midair. He's the only one who can make that play besides Patrick Mahomes. And I think that the most with Josh Allen. He can make all the plays that Mahomes can. Maybe 1% less is good, but he's right there. To me, it's Mahomes, small gap, Allen, big gap, everyone else. I think Josh Allen ended up being a top 10 player, top 10 quarterback of all time.
But Josh Allen had the opportunity last year to win that game at home and blew it and did not do it at the end. Did not find open receivers. That fourth down play was a terrible pass. And here we sit. Like, you've got to make those plays. That's where, for me, like, Josh Allen, I'm not trying to take anything away from Josh Allen. I just don't think he's good in big situations.
That 13 seconds game, he was electric.
He was amazing. 5 years ago now, or whatever that was, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was a long time ago now. We're talking about that 13-second game. Like, we the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls since then.
I'm just saying, Lamar hasn't had that moment once.
With a 13-second type of game? Well,
like, he hasn't played that well in the playoffs once.
No, he has not, but I still
believe... He was bad last year.
I still believe he can beat me. I don't believe in Josh Allen in big moments. I do believe in Lamar. And why we feel that way as human beings, I don't know.
I don't know.
Why do you like hot dogs and you don't? Or why do you like cheeseburgers and you don't? Like, why do we like certain things and other people don't? Or why do we feel certain ways? I don't know. I just feel like Baltimore with Lamar plus their head coach... You know, plus the success that they've had on defense for, you know, two generations now. Like, I just look at Lamar Jackson as that's the guy that I don't want to face.
Yeah, I'm with this person who I think I might have just became good friends with, but I'm the opposite from the 816. I'm like 10 beers deep pregame against the Ravens, and I'm like 8 beers deep pregame against the Bills. I'm the opposite. Like, when it's Josh Allen and the Bills, I just know it's white knuckles, edge of my seat. Ravens, I'm still there. I mean, I'm still like, okay, this is a team. This is one of those teams that can actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the butterflies for Josh Allen, a little bit more than the butterflies for one of Lamar's.
Yeah, and for me, it's Lamar. And that's just, you know, personal preference and who you think can win. But I love Lamar Jackson so much as a quarterback. So I probably am biased and feel that way because I just love watching the guy play.
Maybe ask your guy Mitch Holtis that question. I wonder what his answer is on the other side. We'll be joined by the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back into it on a Red Friday here on Fesco and Dusty. Mitch Holtis in about 5 minutes will join us on the show. Going back to the question we had, which quarterback or team, I guess, gives you the butterflies for the 913, mine would have to be the Bengals. And I think it's because the the sheer hatred of them,
mm-hmm.
the thought of losing to them,
mm-hmm.
and having to listen to Chase just pisses me off, and they've proven that they can beat the Chiefs.
They have, but again, that's a while ago now. What have the Chiefs won? Three or four now straight against Cincinnati, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Since that AFC Championship game that we lost, like...
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard to get over some of these losses, but we've done that with Cincinnati. The 13-second game, that's all past history. I mean, we've won two Super Bowls since losing to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati really hasn't been anything special since they beat us here in Kansas City. But we have those memories, right? We have that scar tissue from the Cincinnati Bengals, and I hate them more than anybody because their fans suck. I mean, they really just suck. So I'm glad when we beat the Bengals just from that standpoint, and hopefully we continue to beat the Bengals, and hopefully we continue to beat them into oblivion and don't let them come up for air. I enjoy beating Cincinnati.
From the 816, I don't fear any team that the Chiefs play. I just know the refs are going to be on our side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's fair.
816, I've just seen Josh Allen beat us, and I have not seen Lamar do that to us. He did it a couple years ago.
Yeah,
Lamar went for it on fourth down and scored.
Yeah, Lamar's beaten us, but again, regular season win for Lamar and regular season wins for Josh Allen. Like,
right.
Regular season wins are nice, but they don't mean anything. I mean, you've got to beat Patrick Mahomes when it matters most. Obviously, Tom Brady has done that, and Joe Burrow, and that's it in the postseason. But I have seen Lamar play good games. I've seen Lamar like we did in the AFC Championship game. They didn't lose that game because of Lamar Jackson, right? Not that, you know, you lose, you know, the 13-second game because of Josh Allen or anything like that, but you're the quarterback. You get credit for wins and losses. It's kind of how we differentiate now in the NFL between who's good and who isn't good, how many Super Bowl wins you got, how many postseason wins you got. So it is part of the deal, but for me, it's just all about Lamar Jackson.
I would say Lamar looked a little shook last year in that AFC Championship game. Because Mahomes came out and just dialed it in. You remember the throw to Kelce in the end zone, and Mitch Holtis said that it looked like he put some duct tape on it and stuck it into Kelce's grip.
Right.
Lamar was not good in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, they got away from their game plan. Mahomes.
Is that Lamar, or is that the offensive play caller who they fired after the season and moved on, right?
No, they didn't fire him.
They didn't get rid of that guy?
No, Todd Monken's still there.
Yeah. He is?
He's their guy. But, I mean, like, that's just one of those games where, like, it's the opposite end of the conversation.
Well, he should have fired
with
him.
Mahomes, it's like he just always wins. But like we talked about the greatest bosses of all time, the final boss is always like going to be Mahomes. Like
right.
He's the guy that like you have to be perfect. You have to know the little like ins and outs to get around it. And if you don't, you fall into the lava. Like when Mario goes up against King Koopa.
No
like
doubt.
If you don't wait for the right moment to attack, and you have to be successful, and you have to hold it, you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, like, I don't know what the conversation is, because Mahomes hasn't ran into that type of guy that consistently, it's like when we were younger, it was always Elway.
I was watching Elway highlights for whatever reason. I saw on Twitter, formerly X, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Not that I forgot how good he was, and obviously it was a highlight package, but damn, that guy could sling the football, man.
Yeah. Whew. And I mean, I think that's the conversation that other teams have now, is that it's like, there can only be 1 second on the clock against Mahomes, and let alone people wouldn't even feel comfortable with that.
No, it has to be expired.
And,
yeah.
And I think the one thing that Mahomes does that kind of goes underestimated is that it kind of gives me the sort of topic of when we were in Little League, we would go up against those pitchers. You'd see him pitching on the side of the field before the game started. You'd be like, okay, this kid's humming it at like 85 and we're only 13.
Right.
And you're like, this is going to be tough. And it changes your mental aspect of the game. Whereas like you want to be aggressive, you know, you got to sit back and see what this guy can do. Whereas like Mahomes, right out of the first drive, like sticks Kelce in the end zone. Kyle Hamilton can't play defense against him, and he's supposed to be this up and coming great safety out of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden Lamar's like, okay, I've got to be perfect now. And it's like that sort of mentality completely changes the way that quarterback is. It can take them from like a 97 overall, drop him right down to an 88 because of the impact Mahomes has immediately done, knowing that you have to be perfect against him in the playoffs.
And think about how that weighs on you all the time, no matter what it is in life. When you feel like you've got to be perfect at something, you're not.
It goes away.
You're not.
Yep.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holtis on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. You hear him every Friday at 7:25. It is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. And it's also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We are now joined by that lovely, lovely sound of Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch, we had the question earlier. Is there a quarterback before the game starts that goes up against these Kansas City Chiefs that gives you a little bit more butterflies than others?
Not with Mahomes on my side.
Yeah.
That used to be the case, but now it'd be Mahomes if he was on the other side.
Yeah.
And I don't say that to be arrogant, but I mean, we faced Josh Allen. I like Josh Allen. I think he's good. I respect him. But we've had the better quarterback ever since 2018 in that opening three games when he just told everybody, including the 49ers in game three that year, that the world is now totally different in the NFL. I know that sounds arrogant, but there's your answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing, Dusty, I was monitoring you guys before I got on. I love it when you say really smart things. I love it. And you said a really smart thing because I'm going to take it a step further because you said in this same discussion that they get in the mind of the other quarterback. Like Brock Purdy is thinking, I'm playing Mahomes today. I've got to be nearly perfect. It also gets in the minds of the offensive coordinators we play and the head coaches.
Yeah.
If you're Atlanta, why don't you kick two field goals? You were going to win by one. Nope, you go for it, fourth down twice, and don't make it.
Yep.
That's the kind of decision where they haven't done that decision all year long. But against us, against the Chiefs, then they completely redo the thinking. So there you go. There's your answer. But I think you're onto something here. Again, I don't want it to sound like hubris. It's just what we're seeing every week.
Well, and I've said it for the last couple of years too, Mitch, when you look at the Chiefs and their opponent, the Chiefs are winning games on Tuesday because of the way that they're making these teams prepare for them and over-prepare for them and overthink, and they start thinking about stuff they don't need to be thinking about, and that's how the Chiefs are winning games too. They're kicking people's ass on Tuesday, and there's not even a game.
On the other side of that, they're also kicking butt in June. They're kicking butt in August. I said this before. They're kicking butt in May. The way Andy Reid approaches his offseason is there's really no offseason. He is so prepared for every one of these games and for the season and for whatever the season puts forward. Look at all the adversity we've faced yet this year. So, yes, on Tuesday for the opponent, but for the way that Andy Reid prepares, it's crazy for 11 months. Out of the year.
So, Mitch, we got a big one against San Francisco. Obviously, first one back from the bye, first meeting since the Super Bowl a couple of months ago. How much have these teams changed, both the Chiefs and the 49ers?
A lot. I think when you have these games, everybody thinks they compare it to the game in February, and it's crazy how the NFL can change in such a quick amount of time. Look at the Chiefs' offense. Look how we're relying now on, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Xavier Worthy. None of those four humans played in Super Bowl 58. On the other side, it is the San Francisco defense. Guys, they lost eight dudes on defense to free agency. Eight. They have four guys that are on IR that are key guys. Everybody talks about Christian McCaffrey, and they should, and there's seven main guys on IR for the 49ers right now, but four of those guys are on defense, Hufanga being the leading one. Now, he didn't play in the Super Bowl, but there's guys that played in the Super Bowl. They're not going to play in this game because of injuries. And defensively, what they lost in the offseason, they're struggling on defense. They're 26th in the league now in points allowed. They lost, you guys, a 14-point lead to the Rams, who are struggling, and a 13-point lead at home to the Cardinals. Now, not all of that's defense, but when the stuff started to run downhill, the defense couldn't stop them.
You use a drum analogy to describe what San Francisco's got to do in this matchup against the Chiefs.
Were you in band, Dusty, in high school?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't a band guy.
You weren't that guy.
I wish I would have, because I'd have played either the bass guitar or the electric guitar.
Oh yeah, you'd have been. They'd have gone, who's the cool kid playing the bass guitar at a concert? And Bob, did you play in the band?
Not in high school. I played the saxophone up until eighth grade and the piano up until about eighth grade.
I bet you were a menace on that saxophone.
You should see some of the videos my parents have. No shirt on, playing that California Raisin song and playing the saxophone on my back like Back to the Future, my man.
And fake tattoos.
Yes.
I got it. Okay, I played trumpet in the Smith Center band for just 2 years, gave it up after the sophomore year. That being said, think about the percussion session and think about the snare drummer. Think about a snare drummer just taking the drumstick, Dale, did you touch my drumstick? And then just beat it. Like, just think of the beat, like tick, 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 tick. That's the San Francisco 49er offense. They so want to stay on schedule. They want to stay just on that beat. And if they stay on that beat, they'll beat you. If you go up and do the cymbal crash or you're Will Ferrell and steal the drumsticks, they hate it. It throws them off. If they get thrown off just a tad, it happened in Super Bowl 54 and it happened in Super Bowl 58. Once the avalanche starts, they struggle to stop it. And we've seen it happen this year because they're not as good defensively. But when that offense is taken off the snare drum rhythm where they have to follow not a 15-play script, but a 30-play script, if you can pull them off that, especially early, you can wreak havoc with the 49ers. They're good. They're good, but they're also 3-3 for a reason. And I think, in my opinion, based on my study, that's what I've laid out for them. You get them off rhythm offensively. Defensively right now, they can't stop an avalanche. And then we haven't even got into special teams yet.
How do you get them off their game offensively?
You've got to do some unusual blitzing on first down, I think. The run fits have to be there. The Chiefs are great. I know that sounds coachy cliche, but Spags and that defensive staff and the whole staff have done a remarkable job. Think of who the Chiefs have faced. And with Mason in this game, looks like he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Jordan Mason's been really good. He wasn't a factor at all in Super Bowl 58, but he's good. They will have faced the number 1, 2, and 3 all-purpose runners in the NFL this year. We faced them all. Okay. You've got to win on first down. That's coach cliche. But sometimes you have to do some unusual things on first down and treat it like third down. And if you do and get them behind the chains or get them somehow off rhythm, then they don't like it. They want to get at least 4 to 5 on first down. That means they're going to do this on second down. That means they'll do this on third down if they ever get to third down. Very different from the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a script, too. They have a basic plan that Andy Reid is a genius at taking a template but then adjusting all throughout the day. Not the 49ers. And I don't mean that as a criticism necessarily. It's just who they are. Mm-hmm. They're the snare drummer on the beat.
But not everybody's Andy Reid, though, too. I mean, like, that luxury that I think hopefully nobody's taken for granted, right? Like, having him on the sidelines and being the mastermind behind this gives our team such an advantage over everybody now in the NFL.
But Brock Purdy, and I hate the systems quarterback. I think it's too limiting. Brock Purdy's good, and he's having another good year. They're also having red zone troubles, too. I mean, we are, got it, 29th in the league. They're 24th in the league. They have, but they're also number one. The 49ers are number one in offensive points scored. And that's taking points and taking away defensive scores and special team scores. They're number one in the league. But they hit the red zone and the wall goes up. But Brock Purdy is the snare drummer here. And that's what Kyle Shanahan wants in his quarterback. I'm not sure he would like Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to hand Patrick Mahomes a snare drum. And Patrick Mahomes is like, what's this? And he'll pull it off and pull out Dusty's bass guitar and the saxophone at the same time, right? And he's got the saxophone over his back and the bass guitar, the lead guitar, humming it out. But the point is here, Purdy's perfect for the offense. He wants to stay right in rhythm. But you can try to do some unusual things. The other thing is the offense that Chiefs putting pressure on the defense of the 49ers. That also puts pressure on the offense of the 49ers. I'm not saying getting ahead is essential, but it's helpful when you play a team like the 49ers and then start the avalanche. You go back to Super Bowl 54, the two most underrated plays in that game are blowing up kickoff returns at the 19 and the 20. Because then Chris Jones was knocking down passes. They're having 40-second possessions, and they can't stop it. 49ers can't stop it. Same thing happens in Super Bowl 58 when you get to the overtime. And by the way, we'll get to special teams, I know. But you get them, you win on first down. Now all of a sudden you have a timed blitz. Spags waited to run the blitz at the perfect time when he sent McDuffie to get them off the field on third goal. And regular 49ers are going to run out the clock. And we don't have a ring or a parade or anything else or T-shirts. A great blitz timed perfectly by Spags, took them off the snare drum beat.
Mitch, before we get you out of here, I want to take you back to memory lane. You mentioned it earlier in the third season game of Mahomes' first year as a starter. What do you remember most about that amazing play and throw to Chris Conley in the corner of the end zone?
That the 49ers had a really good defense, and they go, we got him. It's Wile E. Coyote, got the Roadrunner wrapped around the tree and the Acme, you know, stuff. And all of a sudden, where's he at? Where did he go? He was right here. Now he's over here. But wait a minute, he's over here. It was like he's three places at once, and then still had the vision to find Conley, ironically now with the 49ers, mm-hmm. back in the end zone. And that play where he pirouettes like three times, it's funny to watch the video of the opponent's sideline after those kind of plays. Or I've seen Mahomes do it now since 2018. They just shake their head. They throw their hands up and are like, what are we supposed to do? Nothing we could have done. And there's nothing in that instance where the 49ers could have done it. Let me just say this about special teams.
Yeah.
Think about special teams in Super Bowl 58. Mm-hmm. Muff punt, right, changes the game. Oh, wait a minute, block PAT. That was kind of big.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This year, the 49ers have been a mess on special teams. Can you win a game in special teams like this? Can't. They've given up a 97-yard kickoff return to the Seahawks. They had a block punt against the Vikings. They have kicker issues. Both kickers are hurt. They've got Moody's hurt. Mm-hmm. Then they brought in Matthew Wright, who we brought in to fill in, remember, for Butker mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's 12 years old. I remember seeing him on the plane. And Mahomes was like, when did we sign Tate Nagy? It was Matt's kid. He's a great quarterback this year for Blue Valley West. Big game tonight, by the way. Tate's a really good athlete. But he was like, I don't know, freshman year. But that's what this kid looks like. Now he's hurt. But they're giving up block kicks. They're giving up returns. The Chiefs could absolutely dominate this game in special teams in every part of that. That could be a tipping point in this game.
All right, Mitch, enjoy the trip to San Francisco. Come back 6-0, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Snare drum, boys. Go take it. Be Will Ferrell. Take the drumsticks and come home with a win.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Mitch, for the time. That's Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers, brought to you by GEHA as well. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. I like that. Like a little snare drum analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Will Ferrell also do something to the drum set? Okay. I thought so. I thought he did something besides steal the sticks. I'm surprised he loves that. It's like the third time he's referenced Step Brothers on this show.
I was going to ask that. I think that's at least the second.
I'm impressed by that he likes that movie that much.
Maybe it's the only one he's ever seen.
No.
Not again. Yeah.
But I've heard Mitch reference that movie. I love that. And I like that he said I had a smart comment. I don't get to hear that very often in my life. Normally it's a smart ass comment. This one was a actual intelligent smart. So appreciate you, Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You can hear Mitch Holtis on this station on Sunday on 96.5 The Fan as they take on the San Francisco 49ers in a rematch of the Super Bowl. Bob is going to ruin a song that I love that I had no idea what the meaning of is. We will get to that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This jam. I listened to it on the way home yesterday.
Did you really?
Swear to God. I don't mean to swear to G. I apologize, Lord. Please forgive me.
That's all right.
Yeah, I love this song. It always reminds me of Man of the House with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Chevy Chase.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, Return of the Innocents.
Were you jamming as hard to that as you were this morning to 90s country?
Dude, Mac and I pulled up at the same time, and I was listening to Clay Walker, I Know What Love Is, What's It to You? 90s country jam.
90s country belting. Wasn't bad, man.
That was good. It was the best.
Dude, yeah. I had windows down, saw Mac walk by the car and just cranked it and just sang every word, air guitared it.
Yeah, 90s country, that was my first job, country music station. So you hear all of those country songs and it kind of reminds you of the better days, pre-2000, pre-Y2K, when everybody thought the world was going to end, right?
And yeah, then thanks, Jimmy Chesney.
Right, yeah. So that song, funny enough, comes on in the car the other day and it's me and my wife in the front seat and my daughter in the back seat, and the song comes on and my wife says to me, "Do you remember that song?" And I'm like, I ignored her for obvious reasons that we'll get to in a second, and I'm just sitting there pretending I don't hear. And so she says it again, "Do you remember that song?"
Like, oh God, now I gotta respond.
To which I still don't respond, and I just could pretend like I didn't hear her.
Seriously?
Yeah, right.
Why are you such a Richard?
Well, I'll tell you here in a second. And then so she asks the third time, "Do you remember that song?" To which my daughter finally says, "Yes, he remembers the song. You had sex to it every day on your honeymoon." And I'm
like, "Yeah, did you really?"
It was our 10th anniversary.
So you're a music sex guy?
Well, we were at a hotel and like they had one of those channels that, you know, we were on vacation and the hotel channel that just repeats itself over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
And that song was just kind of like on repeat the whole week. And so it just kind of became one of those, you know, type of things, you know, like we just kind of ha ha ha. But I was not answering the question for a reason. We had our daughter in the back seat, and I didn't want to really get into it at that point in time on a Tuesday or whenever it was.
Probably a Tuesday.
I think it was Wednesday. And so my daughter finally goes, "Yes, he knows what the song means. My God, stop asking him, Mom. We don't want to talk about it." Like, I think it kind of, you know, grosses out the children or whatever.
So the song is about sex, or the song just is when you were having sex?
No, when we were. Yeah, I have no idea what the song's about.
But now you associate it.
See, I thought...
And I associate it with being on my 10-year anniversary with my wife.
So I thought you meant that song, because I was listening to a song yesterday, and I was just thinking about sex on the way home. I was like, you got to be strong. You got to be returned to innocence. Like, am I innocent?
Oh, I don't know what the meaning of that song is. I never really thought about it. But when it was, like, on repeat at the hotel TV channel, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Right?
There are songs, though, that like Return of the Mac will always remind. Like Specs said last week on the roundtable, he played that song when his wife was giving birth. Like, I would just like that's just interesting.
That's a strange one to play. It's a great song. Yeah. Maybe the greatest of all time, people would say. I know Ryan Lefevre has claimed it is the greatest song of all time. And if he says it, then I'm buying it. So, Return of the Mac is one of the great songs of all time. Mm-hmm. Mark Morrison, right? Is that
Mac who's Morrison?
Mac Morrison or Mark? No, it's Mark Morrison.
Mark Morrison.
I think it's Mark Morrison. It's Mac Morey. Mac Morrison. Whoever sings it.
Mac's awesome.
Yeah, he really is. I'll look it up right now and see.
Yeah, it is Mark Morrison.
It is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark Morrison. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know what that song means, but I just know it was on, and, you know, every day, every moment of every day when we were on our 10-year honeymoon.
From the 515, that song is Return to Innocence.
That's right.
It's now on those commercials. If you stay up late enough and you're, like, trying to fall asleep, it's those infomercials like, a sound of 90s sweet songs. Who can remember Return to Innocence?
Mm-hmm.
No, we did this one time, Mac, you're familiar with this now that you've done the show. We used to do out of left field questions on, After Hours.
Yeah.
And one of mine, one time was, what's a song that as you got older, you found out the definition or like the meaning of the
meaning
song.
Meaning of later.
And
in
the
life,
one that blew me away.
Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Well, yeah. To me, it was Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Recently for me too.
I was blown away. Julio was producing.
Great. One of my favorite songs of all time.
And I was like, because Semi-Charm Kind of Life by Third Eye
Blind. That's another one, yeah.
I was like, oh, this song's about crystal meth. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then because they had the radio edit back in the day.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, I didn't know that, but I knew like most of the words of that song. I'm singing. It was a popular song when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And then Julio's like, I got one for you. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like a Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? The religious song? He goes, oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
In the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
Yeah.
Just like a prayer, I'll take you there.
It's such a great song, though. I mean, it is such a great song.
Yeah.
Are you singing it back there, Mac? What are you doing?
I was singing it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you play it? It's okay.
Pull it up.
You can play it. It's good. It's a really, really good song. And. Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to know the meanings of songs. Because like some people get too, way too into the meaning of like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by, you know, what's his name?
What's weird too is that when I was in college in Warrensburg, the Tri Sigmas, the ladies, whenever that song would play, they would all stand up like on the bar, or on the tables, and they would all sing that song word for word. If I'd have known now what I didn't know then,
yeah, right?
Boy, I'd have been.
Isn't that a song too?
Toby Keith.
Yep.
R.I.P. Mm-hmm. But like that's like if I'd have known that, I'd be like, hey, there's the key right there.
Right. Turn it up. I mean, it's a great like workout song too. Crank that treadmill to 7, brother, when I hear this one come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
An angel sighting.
Sighing.
Oh, what? It's a sighting.
Is it sighting?
Sighing would be weird. An angel eye. An angel sighing in the midnight hour, feeling that power.
That's right.
She's literally doing that.
Oh, yeah. Close your eyes.
When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there.
Please. I always knew Madonna was a freak, man.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
Lourdes, wasn't that her name?
I don't know, man.
Damn, I'll get there. Such a good song.
I'll get there at 7:53 in the morning.
I would have to say it's probably one of the top 10 songs of all time.
It is so good. Now that you know what it means, you love it. It is so good.
I don't even care what it means. It's just a great song.
It's a bop.
Crank it again.
Oh, Lord. It's like a dream. I guess she's really into it. You gotta put a ring on that lady right there.
Is this her number one song?
Nah, Like a Virgin.
See, I'm not Like a Virgin fan compared to this.
She went from Like a Virgin to like a prayer.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
She found out and loved it.
Like, how do you not dance? Like, we're all dancing to this thing. You can watch us on the YouTubes.
This song is not about religion. It's about sex.
Did somebody think it was about religion? Madonna,
and she'll tell you what's next. Yeah. Brutal. Give the Dog a Bone by AC/DC. Found out what that was. Yeah. One of my exes found out what You Shook Me All Night Long meant. I was like, how did you not know what that meant? We were listening to it in an Uber. She's like, this is my dad's favorite song. I'm like, well.
That's another great song, though, too.
Yeah. She wasn't like a virgin after that song.
No, sir, Daddy.
Somebody says Pumped Up Kids by Foster the People.
Yeah, brutal song. Yeah, even my kids are like, stop playing that song.
That's such a great album. Shout out to Laszlo for breaking them into the city. That album is fantastic. Houdini's on that album. Foster the People, man. That's a great. That might be a patio. I got a patio night tonight, boys.
First time in a long time.
Yeah, I'll be right. I got some bourbon.
Yep.
Warms you right up.
It really does.
So does that song. Coming up on the other side, it is my favorite part of the show. Unfortunately, we have to wait till Friday, but we get to what's in the script this weekend here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Fesco and Dusty and Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Well,